Well, hello everyone. I'm Rachel Pendergraf and I'm here this week with the White Women's Perspective. And I'm pleased to have my former co-host back with me, moved back to the area here, Sherry. And say hello to everybody, Sherry.
Hello.
And so anyway, we've got some few interesting things to talk with people about today. And and you can, you know, send us some feedback too, and tell us what you think about the show, or if you have any questions like that. And tell you the truth, I actually forget what the email is right now, but you can email me at rachelmpendergraf@gmail.com if you want. And then next week I'll actually remember and tell you what our email address for the show is. But I know a lot of stuff, Sherry, that's been in the news the last couple of weeks, and especially over this past weekend, because they're really talking about how Donald Trump is like lost all the women's vote. And of course, they've been saying from the beginning that he never had any of the women's vote. And I think it's interesting because you look at like the different polls and stuff, and it makes me mad, and it probably makes you mad, that they always group like white women, queers, and non-whites all in like one big happy category.
Throw us in with the disease.
Yeah, let's throw us in together. And you know, they single out white males in polls, but they never look at white females as a separate category, because white women do vote differently.
Exactly, exactly. What gets me is on everything they're saying about Donald Trump, nobody's looking at the fact that Clinton, her husband, is a rapist.
Right.
So he can say whatever man things he said, whatever opinions he had 20 years ago, but Bill Clinton gets away with rape.
Right, right. And you know what you know, makes me, I guess you could say, more flabbergasted than anything is that the liberal media and the feminists out there seem to give a pass to Hillary when, you know, she was audibly on those tapes laughing about how she was able to get that child molester of that 12-year-old little girl off and get him, you know, declared innocent, not guilty, back when she was a new lawyer here in Arkansas. And she was, you know, her position is that, well, I was a public defender and I was told to defend this guy that was, you know, allegedly raped this 12-year-old girl, so I was just doing my job. And they'll be like, okay, well, I'll give her that. But when she's being interviewed about all the strings she pulled to get him, you know, off
right
from the
right
conviction, and then laughing about it, and then laughing how she took this little girl and like just tore down her reputation and made her seem like she wanted it and stuff.
A child,
like that. Yeah,
a child,
right?
And whether that's Hillary's job or not,
and
she still did this to
it.
A child, and
right,
the innocence of a child,
right? And so to me, that's just really disgusting. And for them to come out and act like they're all holier than thou and righteous, and then, you know, get on the, you know, use that as some attempt to alienate women and say, oh, you know, Donald Trump's against women or stuff like that. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know him. It's stupid things for him to say. I don't think all men talk like that, but I know some men do. And you know, he did put out a Facebook thing this morning that said, you know, that's kind of a dark world that he was in then, and he does regret it and feel sorry for it and stuff. And I don't think he was just saying that because he got caught saying it. I think he generally feels bad about it, because he has said before that he's kind of been a playboy and stuff, and he's
right,
tried to do better and be more of a moral man and a better father, better husband, and stuff like that.
But, well, and as you age, you get more mature, hopefully, and
right,
you see your past and
right,
make amends for what you've done. And it's not, it doesn't make it right what he'd said, but it also just makes sense.
Right.
Hillary doesn't make sense laughing at the right loss of innocence. And it's a joke to her. And what gets me is that she's supposed to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And even that being her job, and if you have to, you have to. But nobody said you had to laugh about it.
Right, right. And, you know, so, you know, they're trying to say that, well, you know, this this is the final nail in the coffin, and he didn't have any support from women. But, you know, the Republican women, the middle-class white women, who really what we're concerned about is we're concerned with the fact that there's millions of non-whites and illegal aliens pouring into this country. And I know Trump doesn't, he doesn't specify non-white. He's never going to. It's not like he's a warrior for our cause. It's not like he's right. one of us. But, you know, we're in a war for our people, and in any war, there's strategy to use.
Exactly.
And part of our strategy is to use whatever tools God gives us to help awaken our people and call them for to repentance. And so if Donald Trump talking about banning Muslims into this country, or having him talk about stopping the illegal immigration into this country and restoring law and order, if those things give us a platform to communicate better arguments to our white brothers and sisters and say, hey, you know, listen to us because we've been saying these things for a long time, and there's reasons you're in this mess in the first place. There's reasons that there's even someone like this that's running for office is because our people are a minority in this country. Then I say, you know, use the tools that God gives us to use. And I think a lot of white, you know, I haven't talked to any white women that, you know, don't agree.
Exactly, know? Exactly. There's got to be something to help us. And right now, like you said, he's a tool. It's our weapon. We know that people like the Clintons aren't going to do it. It's not going to line their pockets. It's not going to make them look good to their friends. So they won't do it. They don't care about the country.
Right.
Because if they did, they'd be talking a different
right.
talk.
Right. And, you know, and it may be, I mean, ultimately, you know, the election is not in our hands. It's in God's hands. He puts people in power and he removes people in power. And it may be that Hillary Clinton is the person he wants in power because our country needs to just regress a little bit more, and our people need to hurt a little bit more to kind of, you know, get it whipped into their head that, hey, wake up, people.
Well, you know, we think but, Obama was rock bottom. If this crazy gets into office, it's scary. It's
right.
it's scary. We can... I don't understand why she's even gotten as far as she has. It doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And, you know, if you, you know, I don't know if you've looked at any of the, well, you're not previously from Arkansas, but being
no.
from Arkansas here, I remember just growing up, the, you know, one thing after, just like all, there's a conspiracy deal called Whitewater, which was a real estate thing down in southern Arkansas, and there's supposed drug things coming into airport called Mena, Arkansas. A lot of the evidence, stuff from state troopers, but like the whole, besides all that, if you just look at the entire list of very, very close associates of the Clintons that have ended up, you know, committing suicide, mysteriously murdered, mysteriously disappeared, mysterious one, you know, car accidents on long stretches of straight road.
It's like a bad soap opera.
Stuff like that. I mean, you wonder, you know, well, how did you get this far? Good question.
Your mysteriousness.
Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, what I find, you know, not funny, but ironic is how they're going after Trump for, you know, this thing he said about women. And they're acting all, like, high and mighty about it. I don't know if you saw some of the memes on Facebook. Of course, this is audio, so we won't have a picture here, but other people may have seen it. It showed different entertainers and so forth who were like, oh, I'm so offended about what he said. And then it showed some clips from their music videos, like Rihanna and Madonna and Miley Cyrus, where they're, like, grabbing their crotches.
Right, right. I'm so offended, but look what I can do. Throw another dollar bill.
Yeah, so anyway. But this reminded me, and so I went and found some quotes about that the left had put out about Sarah Palin. Because they're acting like, oh, we're so offended. We're the fairer sex. Treat us with dignity. And yet, they're not for women. They're
no.
just for a satanic scheme to genocide white people. But
right.
these are some of the the quotes. First one was Sandra Bernhard, who is a really ugly Jewish comedian, lesbian. And she said, she did a comedy show, and she said, quote, this was in her dream of what she thought would be cool to happen. She said, Palin will be gang raped by my big black brothers if she enters Manhattan. It's about the extreme views of Governor Sarah Palin, a woman who doesn't believe that other women should have the right to choose, referring to abortion. And then, of course, she tries to cover herself. She says, well, I don't wish Palin any harm. I just like to have her explain to me how she can hold such outrageous views. So anyway, but still, she's like daydreaming about Sarah Palin getting gang raped by a bunch of her black bros.
Wow. And it goes back to that, you know, we're standing up for women, and we're trying to further women. And really, it's not.
That we want to kill.
Right, right. And then to throw something like this out there, it makes you sick.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Barack Obama, he said, what did he say there?
He says, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
And, now, I've heard people get upset because Donald Trump called Rosie O'Donnell the pig.
Right, right.
And I don't know. I say she is a pig. She's a lesbian, loudmouth that doesn't think anyone should have any guns whatsoever, the right to have guns or defend themselves or anything like that. But they, you know, they keep throwing that out there. I've seen that in some of the Hillary Clinton commercials about, oh, look what he says about women. Rosie O'Donnell, she's a pig. Well, Barack Obama called Sarah Palin a pig.
But yeah, and nobody's saying anything.
For them, yeah.
Right.
Let's see. Film director John Ziegler, he said, after McCain announced his VP candidate and she gave her record TV audience lightning bolt convention speech, he said that the media was petrified of Sarah Palin because she had high likability. Of course, that's when they really went after her.
Right.
And Karen Dunn, who was the campaign assistant to David Axelrod, who's an outright avowed socialist communist, said this woman is trouble. That's not too outrageous. But then we got Washington Post journalist Carl Bernstein, who said we still don't have the date of first issuance of her passport. Kind of like this deal where they're like talking about the birther deal with Obama, whether he was born here or not. They're still trying to, I mean, they're kind of doing the same thing with her.
It's that, well, she had likability.
Right.
And
that made them,
women related to her. So let's knock her down as fast as we can.
Right.
To make sure that doesn't happen because they're afraid of women.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, women that espouse conservative values, that want to be good moms and love their guns and their Bibles and things like that. They don't want those women. They just want the commie leftist ones. CNN, I don't remember his name, but he was a host on CNN. Here it is. John Roberts, anchor on CNN. He said that there's also this issue that on April 18th, she gave birth to a baby with Down's syndrome. Children with Down syndrome require an awful lot of attention. And so he was implying then that, well, you know, she can't serve in office and have this, you know, developmentally challenged child.
Right.
And, you know, I would say that would be a very difficult thing to balance. But the thing is, if someone had said that about Hillary Clinton having a Down, they would be like, what? Well, of course women can take care of children and serve in the public office and so forth. They would have been just crying about, you know, anti-women and stuff like that.
Well, if she'd have put her child up for adoption, they would have gotten on her for that.
Right.
If she had aborted, there would have been that. There's always going to be an if. We don't do what is wanted,
right,
then somebody's going to come up with something bad about it, so they can keep furthering their agenda and make
right.
it look horrible.
Right. Amy Robach, NBC reporter, she said, the broader question is, if Sarah Palin becomes vice president, will she be shortchanging her kids, or will she be shortchanging the country? And again, I'm not going to, like, you know, get upset about necessarily the comment. I mean, again, it would be difficult to balance. But the point is, if a conservative was to say that about a liberal woman or like Hillary Clinton, I mean, right. you'd still be hearing about it.
Right, right.
So they're just, again, it's just, they're two-faced.
Exactly. And it's to further their agenda. Right. And it's, and then they come off as looking saintly, but they hide all their dirty laundry.
Right. Joe Biden said that Palin would be a backward step for women. Why? Because she's against abortion and she's against, you know, gun control laws, and she's for, you know, Christian rights and so forth. I mean, to them, Christian rights is anti-women because Christianity wants women to take care of their children and, you know, be good wives and moms, and they value what women contribute to society, but they don't want that for women.
Right. Well, a liberal idea of a woman is no longer what a woman is. I mean, running a household is hard enough.
Right.
Running a country would be extremely hard.
Right.
And it's even harder when you have basically the devil on your heels.
Right.
And he's throwing rocks at you.
Right.
And that's all they're doing.
Right. Absolutely. I thought this was interesting. Everybody can probably remembers the I Can See Russia From My House deal, supposedly. That was what Tina Fey had said on that Saturday Night Live skit. What I thought was interesting was that 86.9% of those who voted for Obama thought that was an actual quote of Sarah Palin.
Oh.
That part of her reason that she said she had good foreign experience in foreign affairs was that she said she can see Russia from her house.
It just shows that this, the election, this present and past elections are taking place on the internet.
Right.
And it goes back to the one meme that always, you know, quotes Lincoln.
Yeah.
And that they read it on his blog, you know. It's like, think for yourself. And they're not.
Yeah. Let's see. John Stewart, Comedy Central, Jewish, by the way, he said, in reference to Palin, he said, she said that small towns, that's the part of the country she really likes going to because that's the pro-America part of the country, you know. I just want to say to her just very quickly, F you.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
I never liked him anyway. Let's see. Roseanne Barr, another loudmouth Jew, she said, bad mother Palin is blabbing about how her pregnant teenage daughter has made the right choice. Well, first of all, Mrs. Palin, your slutty daughter wouldn't have a choice to make at all if you had your way. I can see that she's getting off talking badly to Barack, and I'm sure the N-word is rolling around the empty head of hers somewhere.
This is St. Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
Because isn't this kind of like reading her press on her children and
oh,
her life?
Yeah. Absolutely. Remember when she opened up that game? I think it was a baseball game. Back 25 years ago, she sang
yes.
the national anthem and then grabbed her crotch and then spit on the ground.
Yeah, and said it was all a joke to cover up her bad singing or something
yeah.
like that. And you could tell right then where she was
yeah.
going with it.
Yeah. Jack Cafferty, a CNN host, said, if John McCain wins, this woman, Sarah Palin, will be one 72-year-old man's heartbeat away from being president of the United States. And if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, it should.
Oh, wow.
Margaret Cho, you know who she is. She's that Asian comedian. She said, they shouldn't have the right to call themselves Christians, for they have no Christ-like attributes. I am a feminist and a Christian. When I see Sarah Palin, I see neither, and it's official. She is evil. Well, I would say that you are not a Christian, Margaret Cho. You're a communist. So
yeah.
It's funny how they like to throw out, you know, those little things now and then. Oh, I'm a Christian, and yeah, right.
Well, ask them what a Christian is, and they have no clue.
Right.
They have no clue.
And I don't know if we want to go through some of these jokes here, but let's see. Here's some that there was 180 jokes about Palin and 106 about McCain during the 5-week period leading up to election, and which totaled 286 jokes about Republicans and 42 jokes about Democrats, put out by the big comedians and stuff like
and
that.
And who backs most of the comedians?
Right, the Jewish entertainment industry.
Exactly, and that's where the money is throwing it all out there.
Yeah, David Letterman said one of the highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York was that she bought makeup from Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
Oh, okay.
Okay, whatever. I mean, Sarah Palin's a very, beautiful woman. And everybody, I mean, she had so much support from men and women. So just anything.
Yeah, and that was a threat. Right. And that's why it's like, let's attack where we can. Yeah. And I always laugh that any election, the comedians are on top of their game. And, it's funny.
Yeah.
But when you really think about what's behind that funny, it's scary.
It's anti-white.
Yes.
Is that totally what it is? The Daily Show said Sarah Palin is so dumb she thinks the capital of China is Chinatown, and Palin thinks there are 22 letters in the alphabet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't even know.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, this one is really disgusting. This was a Saturday Night Live skit about Todd Palin, Sarah Palin's husband. They said, well, what about the husband? He's doing those daughters. I mean, come on. It's Alaska. He could very well be. Admittedly, there is no evidence of that. But on the other hand, there is no convincing evidence to the contrary. And these are just some of the lingering questions about Governor Palin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they think about people that live in the suburbia or country areas, rural areas. And I'm not saying everybody that lives in an urban area is, anti-white. I mean, there's a lot of good supporters and people who understand the truth that live in urban areas, but admittedly it's getting fewer and farther between.
Right.
Unless they're there because they got like a big fancy job or something, they don't want to be in that cesspool. So they're basically just making fun of white people.
Right.
As if they're just, they're all about incest. And let's see. Jimmy Kimmel, he said, she looks like one of those women in the Van Halen videos who takes off her glasses, shakes out her hair, and then all of a sudden she's in high heels and a bikini. All of a sudden, I'm for drilling in Alaska. Making some other jokes about potential rapes of her daughter and things like that. So that's just a small, little sampling of, the jokes and stuff about Sarah Palin. And then not just outright jokes, but just outright, statements about
her. Right, right. Or making it seem like she's doing this or it's actually happening. I mean, you don't say that there's incest going on as a joke.
Right, absolutely. Because then, people know that if you say something, even if you say, oh, it's just a joke, well, then they're like, well, I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe there's something is there, maybe what's really happening.
Right, right.
And it's disgusting.
Exactly.
And then there's also T-shirts that were being sold around the country. We actually got a link to, I didn't want to put the picture on the website because we have young people that come and look at the website.
Right.
But I did put a link to the shirts. But it was a very popular shirt at the time. It said Sarah Palin is a, it starts with a C and ends with a T. And it's not cat.
So, oh, wow.
And these are big,
bright
green T-shirts with white lettering, big, huge block letters. And it was a big seller at the time. And there's liberals all over wearing Sarah Palin is a whatever.
Wow.
T-shirts. And
these are the Christians that put them out?
Yeah.
The feminist Christians.
Yeah. the feminist Christians, liberals, commies, and basically all the people that support Hillary Clinton. So, they're just two-faced. And we know they've been, in the polls, they've been anytime that you run across, Politico was just outed today for manipulating a poll that showed that Hillary Clinton was ahead. And if they, there was one poll I saw about a week ago that showed that white middle class women were actually in support of Trump. But I had to like dig really hard to find that. And this thing, you know, they don't want people to know that the white middle class women out there that love guns and love their Bibles and their families and stuff, they don't want other women to know that, hey, you've got a lot of friends out there that don't like the non-white invasion of this country, and they don't like all the queers out there, and they don't like, you know, the fact that you're daughter can go to school and get an abortion, you know, during the lunchtime, and the school like covered up, not let the parents know, and
right,
just
right.
Like, you know, all those type of things, or about, you know, they don't like the fact that this whole, you know, college, you know, campus rape type stuff that they're going on about isn't, you know, A lot of the people do get upset, and they're like, oh, you're just carrying it, you know, too far, and you're just making up allegations, and there's not a rape climate on campus and things like that. But the fact is, it's a race issue. There is a lot of rapes going on college campuses and at parties and things like that, but they don't want to really get into it. They just want to deny it altogether. They don't want to get into the statistics because colleges are not required to give those statistics over to the government. But when you start looking at individual stories that start coming in from different universities and schools and so forth, the rape climate is black men that are targeting white college students.
Right, right. They're going after something that they never lived around.
Right.
Or as a rule, could never have.
Right.
And so now we'll just take it.
Yeah, that's what we want, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right, right.
And anyway, but so that's kind of the two-faced bit of the liberals. And then I don't know if you saw there was a new show on TV last night, and I like to, you know, try to check out and see kind of what the new lineup is. And, of course, very disappointed. I did watch The Middle with, Patricia Heaton, that used to be from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so she's got a show. Now, she's pro-life and Christian, pretty conservative and everything. And that show, it's got its moments here and there, but overall, it's, you know, I can't find too much to complain about it. But right after that show, which I thought it was interesting that they placed this new show right behind that one, because they know that of all the shows on television right now, there's supposed to be more family shows, that The Middle is one of the ones that I would think that probably more Christians would allow their children to watch. Because there's, like I said, there's not a whole lot of, you know, just, there's not a bunch of queers in it and race mixing and stuff like that. There's, you know, there's an issue now and then, but the new show that was right after it, called American Housewife, and it's the actress who played the skinny, slutty sister of Molly on Mike and Molly.
Okay.
And so anyway, so I thought, I'll check this show out, and it was like, within like 10, 15 minutes, I was like, yeah, there's another one, you know, trying to target women,
right,
and trying to target families.
This was on primetime?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock.
Oh, so when your kids
no,
are
actually
just
7:30. The middle was on at 7. This was on at 7:30. So, yeah, right at 7:30.
Just targeting your 10-year-olds.
Yeah, right when everybody's sitting down to eat. And,
oh,
you know,
my.
I mean, you can say you don't, but most people watch TV while they eat.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
It's on. It's at least the noise is going in your head.
Yeah, so anyway, so the premise of the show is a white family that lives up on the East Coast in kind of like a bedroom-type gated community of basically, you know, a bunch of rich white people with their yachts and mansions and stuff like that. Of course, you know, because that's how all white people live. But anyway, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they live there in this really ritzy area. They rent their house, but they're there because they have a special needs child who needs some special classes at the local school. And premise of the show is that she's overweight. And the woman who lives across the street from her is extra, extra overweight. And she is getting ready to move. And she doesn't want her neighbor to move because then she would be the most extra weight woman in this gated community of white skinny bitches, as she refers to them.
Oh.
So she develops a plan to try to get a large woman to buy the house so she won't be the largest woman in the world of skinny women. Anyway, so she she ends up finding a lady, a large lady, to buy the house. And so she's real proud of herself that, after all, she's not going to be the biggest lady in town. And as she's saying goodbye to her going-to-be new neighbor, the new neighbor says, "Well, I guess I can put up with some of the wealthy blacks around here, but just tell me how you do it. You know, I don't see too many blacks, and there's not any of those gays around here." And, of course, then this other lady's like, "Oh, my God, you know, there's a racist homophobe that's going to live across from me." And now the big dilemma is whether she should let this racist homophobic bitch live across the street from her, who's bigger than her, or should she go ahead and resign herself to being the biggest woman, but to get this racist bitch out of her neighborhood.
They had to throw that in on TV.
Right, yeah.
At 7:30 in the evening.
Yeah. So, finally, she decides that, well, she owes it to her children and her community and to be a good American to get the racist, homophobic bitch out of her neighborhood. So, she invites one of her black lesbian friends. Now, the woman's not a lesbian herself, but she does have lesbian friends. You know, this wholesome American housewife. So, she invites a black lesbian friend to come with her, and they go over to meet who is going to be her new neighbor, the white, racist, homophobic bitch, and they start making out in front of her.
Wow.
And laughed about it at 7:30, full-on lesbian makeout on ABC Family.
Yeah, ABC Family. And I keep thinking back, remember when you could, everything before 10 o'clock was pretty much safe.
Right.
You could turn the television on. It may not have been as colorful as this.
Right.
But it was safe, and your children were safe. And now it's not. It's like the filth ran right on over.
Right, absolutely. And so it's the American Housewife. You know, what I was hoping would be a good, because I don't like reality TV. I like sitcoms. I just want, you know, I have enough reality.
Right.
I don't
want
to watch someone else's boring reality. I just want to be, like, entertained for 30 minutes,
right.
You know? So I was like, oh, I really hope this is a good show. And I sit down, and within, like, 10, 15 minutes, there's, like, you know, the really ugly, super, super, super overweight, white, racist, homophobic bitch that they're trying to run out of the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, great. And so that was a big downer for that show. And then immediately after that show came Just Off the Boat, which is about a new Asian immigrant family who's fresh to America and how they're trying to get along in the new world and so forth.
Because and, we need more of those.
Because we need more of those, right. And then right after that one was the O'Neills, which I tried to watch for about 15 minutes last year when it first came on.
Mm-hmm.
And the star of the show was the blonde lady who played on Raising Hope. If anybody remembers that show, Raising Hope. She's also the blonde girl in The Goonies. She's all grown up now. Very, very liberal, pro-gay marriage, abortion, everything. Anyway, so this is supposed to be a show about a traditional Catholic family.
Oh,
except
okay.
Their 14-year-old son comes out and he's gay.
Great.
And so the show last night, I had it muted, but I happened to see something on there that caught my attention. I unmuted it. And the 14-year-old boy sitting in the basement with some of his friends watching a gay pride parade with all their the gay pride parade people that have all their shirts off and they're all in little bikini jocks and stuff like that. And they're all gyrating around on the TV and him and his friends are watching it and the mom walks downstairs and of course she doesn't want everybody to know her son's gay because she's a little bit uptight. She's a little bit uptight Christian lady, you know, although she's getting used to it. So she's like, can we dial it down a little bit? And he's like, oh, come on, Mom. What do you think? All us gays know each other. And she's like, goes back upstairs. And then just to mock Christian people, he turns and he's got a rainbow phone next to him.
Oh,
and he picks it up and he calls Lance Bass, who's queer. And he's like, hey, man, sorry. But he's like, yeah, I know. Your mom wants us to dial down the gay a bit. And he's like, all right. And then they call, I think it was Ellen. It might have been the lady from the musical TV show that was on, ended last year. I don't know if you remember. Bunch of kids. That just shows how...
Oh, wow.
Bunch of kids that are, like, in a music class. It was, like, a huge hit.
Like the Glee?
The Glee Club. Okay. Yeah, that butch lady that was the music...
Right,
the
principal right.
There. So then, you know, this is all split screen. So Lance Blast then calls her, and he's like, oh, his mom wants us to dial down the gay again. All right. So they call, like, four or five different people, and then finally they're like, all right, we really need to get the word out. Let's get a hold of Rue. So they call Rue Paul, who's, you know, the black drag queen queer guy.
Right.
And he's, like, in, like, a little sound studio, and he's got this big, like, dial meter type, you know, it's all like, you know, made to look kind of corny,
right?
But he's got this big meter in front of him, and so it's like says super gay, sort of gay, not too gay, just a little gay. And he's like, all right, girlfriends, we'll dial down the gay. And so he, like, you know, moves the big meter down from super gay, and he's gonna move it all down to just a little gay. So he starts moving it down. And then the video that everybody's been watching of the queer parade, the guys really start gyrating and really start, you know, getting a little more raunchy. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to, we can't dial it down. We're just going to have to go with it. And he, like, throws the switch back up and to super gay. And then everybody's like, like that. And
oh,
I was like, holy Christ,
you know?
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, you've just been hit in the head with this all before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and so it's like just one show after another.
Wow.
It's white, racist, homophobic bitch. Then it's the nice Chinese family off the boat that's way cooler and way smarter than any white people in America. And then the next show is the so-called traditional Irish Catholic family with their out and proud queer son and really pushing that, and the rest of the kids are kind of screwed up also when all types of raunchy sex scenes here. So yeah, that's the 3-show lineup on a Tuesday night for kids to watch with their families.
ABC Family.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it's really, really disgusting. And it's sad that, you know, now we have Netflix at our house, so we try to watch, you know, like older shows and things like that. Even then, you know, you got to be careful because you can see even a lot of the older shows, they're trying to lead up to, you know, people are homophobic or don't say anything about queers or stuff like that. So you can see that they're leading up to shows like this.
Right. The you know, we always go back to the All in the Family because Archie Bunker was such a racist.
Yeah.
But they had the diverse agenda thrown in there from the beginning,
yeah,
and he was just the laugh.
Yeah, because they just wanted him to make, they just used him so that anybody who had any, you know, racialist thoughts, any anti-communist thoughts or anything like that, they're just like a laughing stock.
Right.
Like Sarah Palin. Oh, she's just a laughing stock. I can see Russia from my house.
Right. Yeah. And now that's a fact because somebody said it on Saturday Night Live.
You know, and so yeah, it's just, you know, and you know, women particularly, we've got to be really careful because we're usually ones that are deciding what our kids watch on TV.
Right.
And we're with the kids more often. So, you know, it's just, it's really important that we pay attention to what our kids are saying, what they're watching, what they're listening to. And then we just, you know, you gotta be like really, really vocal all the time. You know, you don't have to necessarily be vocal in a hateful way. Although I never shy away from saying fag and queer and stuff like that. I mean, that's just what they are. They're right. A disgusting thing in, I'm gonna say thing in nature. It's not natural. It's outside of nature, you know?
Right, right. It was, and it's their sex habits that came out. It wasn't anything in the brain or the DNA or anything else.
It's an abomination.
Right.
And so, but, you know, nevertheless, you got to remember, and unless your kids are homeschooled, you got to really pay extra attention. And a lot of people do a really good job about it, but still you got to really stay on top of it and understand what they're being taught at school and what they're hearing at school. And then, you know, to the young women that are out there that aren't even married or have kids or anything like that, you got to, like, really watch and consider that you're being targeted. Because women are, I would say, and many people would agree, white women are the number one target for propaganda. Now, I hear a lot of times that people saying, well, white men are the target because of affirmative action programs or things like that. And white men are targeted, but they're not targeted the same way with subtle propaganda.
Right. You can look at just a dress style.
Right.
Or the accessory that goes to it, and it slowly changes the haircuts
right.
that, you know, once you had a certain look for race, and then little
right.
by little it has changed. Oh, well, that looked good on you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at how good that cornrows hold your hair back during your volleyball game, you
right.
know? And
right.
little by little, it may have done the job, but it changed it. And then it's a big, like you said, it's a target on their back.
Right. And, you know, and so, you know, women just have to, you know, stay very, very vigilant and remember that they're targeted. And remember that there's a lot of other white women that think like you and that you're not alone and that they want you to think you're alone. They want you to think that all the women are pro-queer and pro-race mixing and all the white women are out there dating the blacks and things like that. Absolutely not true. There's a lot of excellent studies that's been done that prove without a doubt that white women prefer and choose upwards of 80% white partners. So they want to split white men and white women up. And
they're doing it.
They are doing it.
They're doing it.
Yeah,
and once you do that, there's no way of making your children white
right.
if you're mixing. It's
right.
just not possible.
Right. So anyway, but I think we're out of time today. So I'm not sure how long we've been talking, but but anyway, I hope everybody will come, you know, listen again next week to this, and we'll give you a better email address. And because, you know, if you've got questions or things like that, which I'm sure people do, because there's not a lot of people out there. The Knights Party has always been very vocal about standing up for white women and proactive in recruiting women and talking about women's issues. And by women's issues, I mean issues that concern white women, like gun control and queers in society and their influence, but looking at it from a woman's point of view. And we've been very proactive about it
right.
because it absolutely infuriates us and the men in our organization that the enemy continually tries to lump white women together with the refuse of society.
Exactly.
Because that's just not, that's not going to work for us.
They've already thrown us away. And I think that's what makes everybody afraid to speak up.
Right, right, absolutely. So anyway, so if you got questions or anything, you can email them to nationaloffice@theknightsparty.com and we'll give you another email address just for the show next week. So anyway, everybody have a great weekend. And this is Rachel Pendergraft signing off.
And this is Sherry.
And we'll just say God bless and keep your white pride and always do what's right.